And it is the cop show or the peace officer show. And that, again, is, well, we've got a fairly, we've a small group in there today. We've got the chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer. And we have the sergeant of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office, Kevin Glenn Denning. He is there as well. And, of course, we also have Colin Letty across the council, KBUR news director. And we're talking about basically, I guess, anything to do with law enforcement, anything to do with public safety. And one of the things we had, it was a week ago that we had all of a sudden this kind of a surprise little snowstorm that came in. And did you have, Chief Kramer, did you have many fender benders or accidents for the first snow?
We had a few, not remarkably a lot, so the drivers were pretty cautious and ready for it.
All right, and same for you, is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, it was really quite minimal. We kind of expected a few more, but everybody was really cautious with the first snow, and no major issues at all.
It seems like, that's kind of unusual. We've seen typically the first snow is like people have forgotten. They forgot how to drive. But I think maybe they're getting better. Maybe they finally have listened to you guys for a while. I don't know if that makes any difference or not. But the fact that, we said, people, they have a routine. And I know that as we were fortunate enough to have the snow that did fall was light and did not stick, wasn't really freezing to the surface that much. But we'll have, if it was happening today, it would be freezing to the surface, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. I think ice is probably the hardest thing, isn't it? Freezing rain and ice, is that, probably the...
The snow gives that visual reminder, tells people to slow down. But when there's the ice out there that maybe isn't so visual or black ice, then we have a lot more of those issues.
All right. Well, it is the, we're talking about... the snow removal is, we had that on the topic with Nick McGregor yesterday, but we're talking about one of the other things that seems to be, it's been going on. They've got a community forum going on tonight talking about violence in the community and what to do about it and how we can, deal with it. I guess the question is, and I'll ask both of you, are we just a more violent society, or is there just more violence that's going on out there, Dennis, than there used to be, or is this just sort of we're in a streak here or something? I don't know. How do you attribute this? Any idea?
Well, that's a good question, Steve, and if I had the ultimate answer, I would be able to walk into the forum and kind of tell people what they need to do to get rid of the violence in our community. But when you talk about violence overall nationally, I don't think we're alone when it comes to violence and how violent it can get in a community, and what people do is what it boils down to, what they're willing to do, what they're willing to sacrifice as far as their freedom to do some of those things and not get arrested, not get thrown in jail, or on the other end of the spectrum is not die as a result of their actions. So when you talk about that violence, I think there's some in larger communities around the country that are combating these same things. And when people try to better themselves or move out of that community, sometimes they take some of those values with them a little bit, and it kind of trickles along with them when they move to a smaller community trying to get away from it. It's just a matter of maybe educating some folks and that there is a better life out there. But not only do you have to have a change of environment, you have to have a change sometimes of what your thoughts are and the way that you think and act.
I think the last time we had you guys on, we talked a little bit about the fact that there seems to be, there are firearms that are out there, a lot of illegal or whatever, non-registered firearms, and the firearm for self-defense has become also a firearm for some people basically as an intimidator. I don't know. Is that would you agree with that, Kevin, or not?
Absolutely. There is an issue with illegal firearms, but far and away it's not an issue with the people that are legally carrying weapons. Are weapons used as against somebody that they have an issue with? Yes, they use for intimidation, and they're using to further what their game is, their illegal game, so to speak.
And I guess, well, we know we've got an opioid crisis, but I guess a drug crisis in general. Are drugs a part of the, drugs and guns part of the violence, or I guess the circle of whatever causes this problem, Dennis? Or is that
well, drugs is just not connected to violent crime. It's connected to other petty crimes, whether it's assaults, thefts, vandalisms, things like that. It's somewhat connected there. People will do what they need to do to get the drugs that they're addicted to. Whether it's stealing, whether it's committing those crimes or becoming involved in the drug trade or carrying a firearm to protect themselves when they're out seeking drugs, selling drugs, manufacturing them or distributing them.
Okay. All right. So drugs are, I guess we'd say, loosely connected because the drugs are connected to a lot of other crimes is what you're telling me.
Most definitely, yeah.
And usually if you – and drugs also, if you've got a lot of drugs, if you're selling drugs – you typically would have a firearm, I guess, to protect yourself from the guys who want to get the stuff from you. Is that right?
Well, some of the drug dealers look at themselves as business owners, and they're carrying their firearms to protect their business.
Yeah.
And there's other people in the drug trade that also carry firearms, so they want to be prepared also. And I understand that. I don't agree with it, the drug trade, but it's out there, and that's those people that are dealing in high volume trafficking, are the people that we seek out and want to put away.
In the rural areas, Kevin, what's some major crimes you deal with in the rural areas of Des Moines County?
Well, we'll deal with the drug trafficking and drug issues as well, but the effects that drugs might have on a community, say if they're not isolated to Burlington, because those people they might seek to commit their crimes out in the rural areas, the daytime burglars, the thefts. We all feel those effects. We're all in it together to try to fight off those issues that are occurring. But majorly, that's what we're seeing is the thefts, the things that are supporting maybe these drug habits. And we do have our fair share of drug trafficking as well.
Yeah, well, we had the Red Ribbon Week just recently. That concluded. Again, we're talking about all of the things that happen this time of year. It's a transitional time of year. We did talk a little bit about school bus and school bus violations the last time you guys were here. Have you been writing tickets for school bus violations, Dennis and Kevin?
Well, we still do, and plus, as we talked about the last time, we're doing working with the county attorney's office to do some deferred prosecution on some of those school bus violations, trying to educate folks and still have the violation mean something in the court system, when it comes to writing those citations. So there is a learning process, and we're trying to educate through that deferred prosecution when it comes to some school bus violations. And there's a qualification that the county attorney's office uses to make sure they meet the qualifications to be part of that deferred.
Okay, and I'm going to guess, and I know we talked about four lane highways in particular are the ones that seem to be 61 south of Burlington is sort of a prime example of people that believe that they don't have to stop behind a school bus if they just simply can go to the other lane, but that's not the case.
Correct. Yeah, you can't overtake or pass a school bus that when it turns on its flashing ambers in the four lane. If you're meeting it in the opposite direction on the four lane, then you can proceed, but you can't overtake or pass it. That was a major issue that we're having last year. This year, I agree with what the chief said. The education, I think letting the citizens know what is and is not legal has been really beneficial. The violations have been down. The reports have been down. We still have some isolated incidents, but not nearly the level that we had over the last couple of years.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some other things. We've got one of the things we've got a problem with, a mental illness problem. You still have that. Are you still transporting people long distances because they've got either mentally ill or they've got drug problems and things like that?
Absolutely. We deal with court-ordered committals where we may take somebody on a committal order so that they can be seen by a doctor, be evaluated, and seen by the court to determine what the best long-term action is for that individual. When they're placed in a facility, then there's just not a lot of beds open. And sometimes those transports are a long ways away. There's a major issue with beds for juveniles, young adolescents that are having these mental health issues and finding an open bed. Some of my experiences, I know we've waited days to try to find a bed for these people to find a room in.
Okay, so we've got a shortage of space. How are we doing in terms of the jail? Are we at capacity in Des Moines County Jail?
We are right about over capacity.
Okay,
and the difficulty is in a perfect world where all of our numbers are level, female inmates, maximum security inmates, general population inmates, then we can be at max capacity. But sometimes if we have, say, a mental health individual or we have somebody that has a special situation, they have to be isolated, so they have to be in their own cell. We can't put others with them. So that reduces what our maximum capacity is, but we are typically over capacity.
So if you're over capacity, what do you do with the excess? The excess, do you basically trade them or send them off to other facilities? Is that right?
We do. We house them in other as close of surrounding counties as we can, and we pay a daily fee for that.
Okay. I guess the question is, if you're over capacity, do you need to build another jail?
You know, there's it's going to take an evaluation. Look at the price to build the jail. When the jail was built, there were some options of expanding. We have two gyms that are out there, and there's options with both of those gyms to develop into new wings. And I want to say that each one could house approximately 16 inmates, and that would be an option. And then adding on, say, a new gym or a recreational area for that.
Okay.
That's something that's been looked at. We looked at this about 2 years ago, and at that time, the population went back down, and it went back down under our maximum capacity, so we kind of stepped away from it for a little while because of the cost associated with just the architectural cost of adding on into the gym. So it might be something that we're going to have to take a look at as we're maintaining at our maximum capacity again.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've got peace officers that are joining us, the chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer, Kevin Glendenning, the sergeant of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office, both joining us. We'd be delighted to take your phone calls about anything that's on your minds today regarding law enforcement. And we'll be back right after these words.
Errands have been run and the chores are done. Time to finally relax by screaming for your favorite team for the next 3 hours right here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa travels to Wisconsin this Saturday with pregame at 1, kickoff at 3. Brought to you by Casebine Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo and Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project. Give any space in your home a new look with the wide variety of styles available with Shaw Vinyl Plank Flooring. It clicks together and is 100% waterproof. Get the look of tile with Vancouver Vinyl Plank, only $266 per square foot. Hudson Vinyl Plank has a natural wood look with an attached pad, only $299 per square foot. Get them all now at Menards. Price is good through November 9th.
Save big money at Menards.
And now a message from Puffs Plus Lotion Tissues. Coughing and sneezing aren't the season's worst flaw. It's the ordinary tissues that can leave noses raw. With each little wipe, they can leave noses red. So do your sniffer a favor. Buy Puffs Plus Lotion instead. Puffs have lotion to soothe and are soft on your nose. You'll feel the difference with each of your blows. Especially during cold and flu season, a nose in need deserves Puffs indeed.
At Ulta Beauty, you can turn holiday shopping into holiday shopping because now you can shop beauty in so many ways. Buy unforgettable fragrances and oh-so-pretty palettes online and pick them up in store when it's oh-so-convenient for you. With the Ulta Beauty app, you can shop for gorgeous gift sets or luscious lip kits with personalized offers and coupons literally at your fingertips. And when you're shopping for work party wow looks, you can virtually try before you buy. Shop the way you want this season and get ready to give, gather, and glow. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Planning for a family is just as important as not planning for one. Not everyone wants to have children right now or in the future, and that's why family planning clinics across the state of Iowa offer birth control, pregnancy tests, wellness exams, STD testing for men and women, screenings, and so much more. Services are available no matter where you are in life, for all ages, regardless of your ability to pay, with or without insurance. To find a clinic near you, visit idph.iowa.gov and search family planning.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits.
And welcome back on the Peace Officer Show today. The chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer, is joining us. Kevin Glendenning, sergeant of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. We're talking about some of the issues that peace officers are facing right now. One of those is, I guess, from a staffing standpoint. Chief Kramer, I know that coming up, budgeting season is going to be coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand, and how do you feel, or how do we stand in terms of being at? Are you at full staff, or are you at? Are you still looking to add more officers?
No, I'm not at full staff right now. We've had some people that have moved on in their career, either out of law enforcement or to another agency. And sometimes that's because personal reasons, whether it's they're moving closer to family and their family situation has changed. So I understand that they have those opportunities and take advantage of those and move in their careers. So we've had some people leave, and then we have Major Grimshaw's retiring the end of this year. So people come and people go. So we just did a testing last week, and we ended up with five candidates, and trying to go through those five candidates and select somebody for the January Academy slot. We have two people scheduled to go in January and two scheduled to go next April, and that should get me pretty close back to 45 sworn.
How about I know that we've talked about the problem that it is that the number of officers, the number of people that want to go into law enforcement has been down in general. I know that that's been an issue, but are you seeing, is that trend still continuing, Chief Kramer?
Yeah, it's not just a trend for us here locally. I mean, I meet with other police chiefs around the state, and they seem to be having similar issues, you know, when it comes to recruiting, getting personnel to come and take their test, and then getting a viable candidate. And, you know, it becomes difficult in today's world with people wanting to do what we do.
All right. I know that how many years have you been in law enforcement?
January, I'll be starting year number 33.
Okay. Any idea how many people were in when you first went into law enforcement, how many people were in your, I guess, pool of candidates?
Yeah, when I tested, I was working, and I got off work and drove to the testing out at SCC, and we was in the big auditorium out there, and there was, I believe there was 130-some people sitting down to test.
Okay, so how many typically will show up for a testing area now?
Right now, we're fortunate to get maybe between 10 and 15.
Okay, is that what about you? Do you remember your law enforcement test? I guess
I do. I tested in 2000. I'm in my 19th year, and
that's a lot more recent than mine.
It is by about a decade. We had about 125 at that testing. I still remember the number. I still remember the full gym out at SEC. Wasn't a lot of spots to be filled. It was very competitive. And I remember the days where we used to talk about the civil service list, and it was considered the top 10 list. And now it's a struggle to even get that top 10. We're in the same boat, where we get about 15 or so applicants to show up for our testing. But in that group, we do get some really high quality individuals.
Is it the general war, quote unquote, war on law enforcement that seems to be, is that the issue, or is it just a change in society, or what's your reasoning why it's dropped off so dramatically?
I don't know if it's the perception that I guess law enforcement has dealt with over the last decade or so that might have shied some people away, but also the dangers that are associated with it and the people may be looking at it, possible candidate might look at it and say, this just isn't for me, to go out there and go through college and get out of college. And it's you can make an honest living. It's not a terribly high salary, but you can make a good living at it, but we just don't see the numbers show up that have those qualifications anymore.
And I guess, and Colin, you've got you've got family members that are in law enforcement, right?
I do. I have one, my brother-in-law, who is in the corrections, who was in corrections up in at Dixon State Prison.
And you were telling me that he absolutely loves it. Is that right?
Absolutely, he does. But that's again what he went to college for criminal justice. I have other family members who are first responders who aren't in law enforcement, but it's definitely dependent from person to person.
Okay.
And I think what you said, both of you said, the perception of law enforcement has definitely changed, especially with people, younger people, sort of around my age, and. As it, much as it pains me to say it, a lot of it is media perception, because in my experience, media perception of law enforcement as bad has been a thing since the early 90s. Like, you remember the big story out there was the Rodney King thing that happened, and stories like that have just become more and more and more prevalent. They're highlighting the bad side of law enforcement. Like, I'm sure you've seen some bad police officers out there, but generally it's more good than bad, I'd think.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I think one of the things we did find, and we were talking a few months ago, was, you know, it's if a parent is going to, you know, sort of advise their child, you know, hey, where do you want to, what do you want to do for your career? I would imagine if you're in law enforcement, I would imagine. Is that something that children want to follow their parents to into that sort of thing?
If their heart's in it, absolutely. I've been, like I said, in my 19th year, and I've loved my career. It's been a blessing to me. I've enjoyed the work I've gotten to do. I look back and I don't have any regrets. So if your heart's in it and you want to pursue this field, absolutely, I would encourage that.
All right. I know that one of the things we have the Reserve Officer Program. How is that coming along, Chief Kramer?
Well, it's we have three good reserves on the department that, and when I say good reserves, they dedicate a lot of time, and that is truly it. They volunteer their time down there, and obviously if it's difficult for us to recruit people to bring them in and pay them to do the job, you know, the dedication of these individuals that come down for our reserve department and dedicate their time to us is remarkable, and it just shows you what kind of people they are. They're really good people.
Now, a lot of your candidates come out of your reserve program, don't they?
Some of them do, not a lot. We get
okay.
Most of our candidates will. We get a few from the local area here, but Western Illinois has a good law enforcement and justice administration program over there, and we coordinate with them for career days, and we do some. Our interns for our department usually come through Western Illinois most of the time, so we have a good recruiting opportunity to go over there and talk to some of the students that are graduating from college or wanting to get into law enforcement. So that's where a majority of them come from.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more. We've got to take a break for news, but we'll be back with more of our Peace Officer Show.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty. At approximately 9:40 p.m. on Tuesday, the Burlington Police Department responded to a stabbing in the 200 block of Hay Street that had just taken place. Upon arrival, officers located a 19-year-old female who had sustained multiple cuts and puncture wounds. Officers additionally located a 57-year-old male who indicated he had been strangled and assaulted during the incident by the same person responsible for the stabbing. Both individuals were transported to Great River Medical Center in West Burlington for treatment of their injuries. The individual responsible for both assaults was identified as 19-year-old Stephen Cottage Jr. of Burlington, who was arrested and charged with willful injury and felon domestic abuse assault. Cottage Jr. is being held at the Des Moines County Correctional Center on no bond pending a court appearance. Firefighters are calling a house in Keokuk a total loss after it was destroyed by a fire early Thursday morning. Fire officials were called to 611 North 9th Street around midnight. They said because of the heavy flames and smoke, it was an all-call situation. Fire crews stayed on the scene to battle hot spots to prevent it from spreading to other homes. There was a family with three children inside, but they made it out safe, but the family dog did not. Fire officials are still working to determine a cause. Senator Chuck Grassley doesn't agree with calls from President Trump and other Republicans to reveal the identity of the whistleblower who first reported concerns about Trump's dealings with the Ukrainian president. Grassley, who wrote significant portions of federal whistleblower laws, says they ensure anonymity for whistleblowers and should be followed. Grassley told reporters in a call Wednesday that it's important not to reveal the identity of intelligence agency whistleblowers because it could endanger them. He says the whistleblower is less important now that documents have been released of the call that led the U.S. House to begin an impeachment inquiry into whether Trump sought favors from the Ukrainian president that would help Trump's re-election campaign. Trump and Senator Rand Paul called on reporters to release the whistleblower's identity this week. And those were today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. For more stories, breaking news, and more, be sure to like us on Facebook or visit our website at kbur.com.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. A House committee leading the impeachment probe stood up by former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The other witness on the list did show up, an advisor to Vice President Pence, Jennifer Williams.
Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff is about to kick off a whole new phase with these open hearings next week. He has summoned his key witnesses. So Wednesday, November 13th, we'll hear from Acting Ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor. Wednesday, we'll also hear from State Department official George Kent.
Fox's Jillian Turner. First funerals this morning for the 9 Americans massacred in Mexico.
Donna Langford, along with sons Trevor and Rogan. Renita LeBaron Miller will be buried at 2 p.m. along with her 4 children. Christina Johnson, 33, will be buried in a town nearby where she was born on Friday.
Fox's William Lajeunesse. America is listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A sunny but cold day today. High of 33 degrees. North winds at 5 to 15. Tonight mostly clear. Low down to 18. Winds will become calm overnight. Mostly cloudy for Friday to start the day. Then gradually becoming sunny. High to 36. And it should be a partly cloudy Friday night. Low to 27. But Saturday, mostly sunny 51. Partly sunny Sunday 47. Right now we've got sunny skies, 26 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. A rally this morning on Wall Street. China says it's agreed with the U.S. to start rolling back trade tariffs. Investors really like that. Wall Street soaring in morning trading. All major indexes up more than a half a percent. The Dow now up 184 points. The NASDAQ up 57 points. The S&P up 17 points. Xerox has offered HP $22 a share in a takeover bid. Roku shares are plunging right now, down 15%. The streaming device maker reported disappointing quarterly earnings. Coca-Cola unveiling a new sparkling water brand this morning called Aha. It has a jolt of caffeine in it. Alphabet's board of directors investigating executives over sexual misconduct and inappropriate relationships. Reports say at least one of those investigations surrounds the company's chief legal officer, accused by a former employee of having an extramarital affair and abandoning a child.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart. Visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Ever notice your energy bill seems a little lower in the fall? For the average Iowan, fall is a time when we can shut off the air, haven't turned on the heat yet, and we can still get outside and enjoy Mother Nature. So as we enjoy that little dip in our energy consumption, Access Energy Cooperative has three ideas for easy energy savings. As we head into cooler weather, flip the switch on your ceiling fans. This reverses the direction the blades spin to clockwise. Run the fan on low speed so it creates an upward breeze away from the people in the room. This pushes the warm air at the ceiling back down into the room. So as you begin to run the furnace, you can set it a few degrees lower. Second, with falling leaves comes lots of holidays and decorations. Remember to buy LED lights for energy savings and longer lasting bulbs. And finally, have an annual servicing done on your heating unit and replace the filters. A clean system is safer, runs more efficiently, and can save you energy. If you want to see more energy-saving ideas, visit AccessEnergyCoop.com and keep in mind it's a great time for members to schedule a free energy audit. Access Energy Cooperative, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative.
Looking for new furniture from top brands? Check out the Furniture Store in Burlington. They carry popular brands such as Ashley, Best, Flex Steel, Sunny Designs, and many more. Not only do they have some of the best prices in town, their dependable moving team will get your new furniture to your house very promptly. Free delivery with qualified purchases. For your next piece of furniture, check out the Furniture Store, located on the corner of Harrison and Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at thefurniturestoreburlington.com.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys.
And it is a peace officer show today. The chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer, is joining us. We've also got Kevin Glendenning, the sergeant of the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. Colin Letty is across the council as well, KBUR news director. We're talking about law enforcement. And one of the things that occurred to me that in January, the state of Illinois, all of a sudden, recreational marijuana is legal. I don't know if that had what sort of impact and what sort of impact or what sort of are you preparing for any specific type of impact from that, simply because we're rather close to Illinois. Kevin?
I'm sure we're going to have some spillover from that. I don't anticipate major issues. We do deal with that currently, marijuana coming into the state. I don't know that we're going to see major changes, but there'll be probably an increase and some spillover from that.
Well, I know it's legal. It's legal for some Iowa residents to go over there and purchase. But it's not legal to transport. Is that correct?
That's correct. It doesn't change the law here. The law is still the same here. So, and the question that comes up, you know, if somebody goes over to Illinois and smokes marijuana or recreationally uses marijuana over there, and then comes back, I mean, it's still. If we smell marijuana in the car or they have marijuana on their person, it's still a violation here, whether they purchased it in Illinois or here. So,
but the world seems to be changing in terms of how it's handling it. And there's no doubt about that. Yeah, Kevin, Colin, excuse me.
So if someone does legally purchase it and they're caught, bring it over here, does it still constitute what constituted as a? I'm sorry, I'm still trying to find my words here.
What class of felony would that be?
Thank you, Steve. I was stumbling over my words there. I apologize.
Okay. So I am here.
They can only possess so much over in Illinois too. I think it's 2 grams or something like that in Illinois. Don't quote me on that, but if they bring a quantity back here, it would depend upon the packaging and how it's presented and how much they've brought back to Iowa from Illinois. So it'd be a misdemeanor possession charge here.
And do you see Illinois legalizing marijuana possibly open the door for Iowa to legalize it? Because I personally know why Illinois is legalizing it. It's because the state's broke, but.
Okay.
I think it'll probably be presented as a bill. I think it maybe has even been through some reviews as a bill here. What the legislators decide to do with it will wait to be seen.
Well, as I said, the landscape, the legal landscape for that has certainly changed. I flew into Palm Springs, last year for spring break, and it was the first time I saw a giant poster inside the airport. It said, you know, and it had all of the, you know, there was the, and all of the varieties of cannabis available from this particular superstore. And I thought, it, you know, it's, now that's, that is, it's a bit striking when you see something like that for the first time, as I guess. But the world has changed, and the marijuana that is around right now is not the same as the marijuana that was around back when I was in college. I, from what I, it's much more powerful, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer that question, Steve.
Okay.
I'll let you talk about that.
All right, from what you've heard anyway, but it is...
I think we are seeing some that's coming in. They have these designer varieties and higher levels of THC, and there are some more potent varieties. We still see some of the old, not-so-potent designer varieties that are still around.
Okay. Well, we're talking about anything and everything. One of the things that also we talked a little bit about the last time you were here, and it's a continuing issue, and that is distracted driving, and particularly texting and driving. And I think, how big of a problem is that in from your each one of your perspective? Dennis, how big of a problem is texting while driving here in Burlington?
Well, I experience it. I see it, you know, on the roadways as we all do. And as I talked before, it kind of presents the same when we see the drivers out there that are sitting at the green stoplight for absolutely no reason. Usually they're doing something on their phone, whether it's texting or trying to look up a phone number or something like that. Whatever they're doing on their phone, they're distracted. We see that, and then you see the cars that going in and out of their lanes of traffic, which is indicative of, you know, a drunk driver or somebody texting now. So we do see it. We try to identify that, and usually it's another violation that presents itself, you know, whether it's somebody changing lanes without signaling or taking up two lanes of traffic. It's a violation, and usually the reason is they're distracted by either something in the car or it could be a sign of them being intoxicated.
And
also,
there is a lot more hands-free and Bluetooth and ways to text. I can do it on my phone. It just goes, Siri, call Siri. I want to text somebody such and such. But a hands-free device, as long as you're not holding something or whatever, then is that texting? I guess that's the question I've got.
So the code, it's a secondary offense. In other words, the texting or sending, reading, receiving emails, text messages, it's a secondary offense. So if, as the chief was saying, when there's another violation that presents itself, then that can be a secondary offense. In other words,
right,
it's not a primary offense that you can stop for.
I was just getting to the point that technology has made it so the point that I can say, Siri, I'm going to send a text, and I'm sending a text to such and such, and then send the text. I can say, go ahead and send that, and then if there's a receiver, then Siri will come on and she'll say, I have a response. Would you like me to read it to you? I guess, is that considered texting, or is that considered, what is that?
If it's being read to you or just the audio of it's being presented to you, then no. But to actually have the electronic device in front of you and be actually manually reading it, then that would be a violation.
Okay, so it's one of those gray areas no matter what. The other thing I've noticed is that, like when we'll rent a new car to go on, take on vacation or to go someplace, there is so many different options in the entertainment system of a car. The distraction alone, just trying to figure out how to program it is amazing right now. I don't know. I suppose anything, I guess, that takes your eyes off the road is considered a distraction. Is that right?
Well, and that you're 100% right. I mean, we've had accidents before the electronic devices in the cars, you know, where people will get distracted and knock their cup of coffee over or be reaching for something in the passenger seat, whether it's a newspaper. And years ago, I can remember somebody reading a newspaper going down the freeway or a book. I've seen people reading books on their steering wheel as they're driving down the freeway. And is that distracted driving? So the medium's just changed when it comes to the phones. And people need to just be aware of what's their surrounding and what their primary responsibility is. You're driving basically a 2,000-pound vehicle down the roadway, and you need to have control of it at all times because it's very dangerous when you lose control for yourself and others.
No doubt about it. And how about what's the biggest with texting while driving? Is that the biggest issue you face in the county too? Is that would that be the issue
for the distracted driving?
For distracted driving?
Yeah, absolutely. We see it all the time. People constantly. They think nobody notices, but their phone's on their lap and their hand, and they're constantly glancing downwards, and their focus just needs to be on driving.
Now, you said secondary offense, so it would be something you can't stop someone specifically for that, but you can stop them if there's another violation. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, we're going to take another break. We've got peace officers joining us. We'll talk more after this.
It starts with the action on the court, moves to the crowd, and is described by the broadcasters and transmitted to you. The energy, passion, and excitement on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa opens the season hosting Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, Friday night at 7. Brought to you by Bob Dodds Insurance, Reinschmidt's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Standard of Beaverdale. On News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Imagine never worrying about performing another data backup, a computer meltdown, or ordering another toner cartridge. Hi, this is Mary Beth at J&S Electronics. We offer managed services so you don't have to. Worry-free IT solutions. We provide the people, platform, and services to keep your voice, data, video, and print systems operating efficiently and effectively. The J&S Electronics Managed Services team can keep your business running smoothly. For service you can rely on, call or visit our website at jselectronics.com.
There are many reasons to join the Y. Building endurance, losing weight, and strengthening your heart. When you join the Y, you are committing to more than simply becoming healthier. You're supporting the values and programs that strengthen your community. At the Y, children learn what they can achieve, families spend quality time together, and we build relationships that deepen our sense of belonging. Check out all we have to offer online at burlingtony.org. The Y is more than just a gym, it's where you belong.
It's the Bernina Ultimate Embroidery Machine Purchase Event going on right now at your Bernina dealer, Riverbank Fabrics, and more. Skyler Street, Aquaca. Come see, touch, and enjoy three top-of-the-line models of Swiss-engineered Bernina embroidery machines and receive over $4,000 in exclusive embroidery gifts with purchase of your embroidery machine. If you love to sew, then embroidery takes you to the next level. Bernina, made to create at Riverbank Fabrics and more. A bank full of sewing inspiration in Aquaca.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were eight and you had bad treats, you're going to school.
And welcome back to the Peace Officer Show. We've got Kevin Glendening from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office, and we've got Dennis Kramer, who's the Chief of the Burlington Police Department, to talk about law enforcement. And we're talking about any of the issues that face law enforcement officers right now. And as the sergeant, what is your primary responsibility for the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office?
So I'm a patrol sergeant, and so I'm assigned to the patrol division. And my major responsibility would be overseeing our patrol division. With that, though, I handle a lot of other areas. I also do our budget for the sheriff's office and a few other planning future plannings for the office.
Okay, and obviously, you've got the chief is in charge. Well, we know what the chief is. The chief is the chief law enforcement officer for the city of Burlington. But you've got majors. Now, majors are they considered assistant chiefs? Is that right?
I have one major. Major Grimshaw is the major for the department. He is the assistant chief. Yeah.
Okay, and we're talking about law enforcement. What are the major? If you had to say. As we move into this time of year, what are the major issues that you're going to be facing? I think we talked about weather. Is weather the number one factor that you guys are facing, snow and dealing with snow and ice and icy road driving? Or what would be the major issue? Look, Kevin, what about you?
I would say it's one of those issues, and we just try to be aware of it. And, on days where we have snow and ice, we recognize that we're going to have to focus on traffic, on making sure the roads are safe. We might have to be out there directing traffic at an accident or something like that. But there's other areas, just constant different areas we have to give our attention to.
We also move into the holiday season, which is also the holiday theft season. I'm going to guess burglaries, is that a fairly common thing to deal with in the county?
You know, we see a lot of daytime burglaries. We have a lot of success working those. I don't want to say that they increase over the holiday time. We don't see major increases. We get sprees of burglaries when we have a specific individual or group of individuals that they've made that their trade, and eventually they get caught, and we put those to rest.
Okay. And I guess as we look at crime, what's some major crimes you're dealing with, Dennis? I guess is burglary, theft, would that be the major holiday issue that you're facing?
For the holidays, that would be probably the major issue would be thefts and shoplifting. When people park their cars, whether it's at home, on the street side, or in a parking lot, you know, and I've preached this to my children when they were younger to not have things sitting in their car, you know, whether it's their purse, whether it's their iPad or iPod or some type of electronic device, don't leave it sitting in the car. And everybody says, well, I lock my car, but it's so easy to bust a window out, you know, and just put those things away in the trunk where they're not visible. And especially if you're out shopping, you know, put those things in the trunk where they're not visible or somebody can't look in and see that you have that electronic device that they're desiring, and just smash and grab and take off with what you're wanting to give as a gift.
All right, well, we're talking about law enforcement, the issues that are facing us as we deal with some of the issues that are going on out there. We talked about distracted driving. We talked about school bus violations. I was going to ask you about your overall viewpoint on the new police station in terms of how that has changed the way that things are operating there.
Yeah, we're continuing to settle in that building, and there's some challenges with it. You know, we have some extra space down there that we're looking for a tenant to refurbish on the southeast corner of that building. So there's some extra space, but we're finding that what we originally thought was, you know, how are we gonna settle into all this space, that it's much needed. So we have enough room to have the events that we need to have, investigations that we need to accommodate for. And plus, we just added on the Jefferson Street side, which is the front of the building, we put the 24/7 drug drop-off in the old night deposit there. And we've had some people just dump pills in there freely. I just asked that they put them in a bag and put them into that night deposit, and they'll be secured away, and we'll take care of those and get those destroyed for you. So you can just drive up any time of the day or night and drop your unwanted or unused narcotics into there, and we'll take care of them, dispose of them.
Okay, and I know drug take back has been twice a year. That's been a big event that has been happening around the state of Iowa. And I know that you get a lot of the amount of drugs that come back in those drive-throughs are pretty amazing, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're trying to, and that's part of the reason for the 24/7 is kind of slow that down a little bit. We have been doing it twice a year. But hopefully that way the opioids and the narcotics that are in people's homes that are unused or no longer needed, that they can get rid of those so they aren't available for someone to either break in and steal those, or somebody that they care about start using them unnecessarily, so that when they're done with them, they can dispose of them and get them out of their house, or so somebody, they don't get into the wrong hands.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We're going to talk about, again, as we move into the holiday season and all of the things, some of the things that I guess basically common sense is guard your items that are in your cars. But also be careful about, I know that we've had some issues where we've had credit card skimming and some issues where I know that I've had debit cards that have been, basically skimmed. Is there any way to know I'm thinking of particularly when you're buying gas and whatever.
If you see something on there that doesn't look right, or if you have any concern, just take a look at the device, see if it's something that looks like it's removable. But we're all pretty familiar with it. But when we get in, or what the credit card slide should look like, we get in a hurry, we're not paying attention. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. And just see if it's something that might be removable off there, and that's what a skimmer is going to be.
All right. Well, we're talking about, again, we've been talking with the peace officers today. We want to thank the chief of the Burlington Police Department, Dennis Kramer. We want to talk Kevin Glendening, Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. Colin, have a great rest of your day as well. And we're going to be continuing on. It's 9:58 at KBOR. We've got AgriTalk that is on the way next.